from the outside. Other people's lives can look perfect, but have something to hide. Don't miss your true life's calling to be a detective. In this real-life investigation on assassins, imposters, families who kill their own, and survivors. Where we'll also discuss how violent crime causes a ripple effect of trauma and help the victims and their families find new ways to cope with stress left behind. This episode includes descriptions of emotional abuse, child sexual abuse, sexual and physical violence, sibling abuse, and murder. Larry's the son of a famous forensic psychiatrist who led a double life, notable for his roles on the John Gotti and O.J. Simpson defense teams, doctor to a royal princess. Welcome to this episode. Now let's get into it. Here's Larry.
Hi, I want to let you know about this particular episode. It's about the fact that my baby's head was squished in half by my girlfriend after she had twice what it appeared to be poison. I can say that I'm pretty sure she was poisoned because I was there watching her flop around that night before the baby died, and also that these people came up to her and told her they were worried that the poison in the baby would leak into her system, because the baby, after it died in her womb, was too big to come out. And it appeared that she was trying to squeeze the baby out, but she had also been squeezing the baby very hard before the time against the sink in the toilet in order to kill the baby. I had actually called some women from some websites after the baby died to inquire how would it be possible that a woman could kill a baby by squeezing it. And Filipino experts, women who ran these abortion websites, claimed that it was very common that that was a poor woman's practice to continually squeeze the baby time to time, you know, every couple of days, every day. That's what she was doing to kill the baby, but in more than one way. So it wasn't on the hospital report that the baby's head was squished, because in the hospital, my girlfriend confided in me that, look, Larry, I talked to the nurse and she's gonna help me. And gosh, it wasn't just that they didn't put the baby's head had been crushed on the report. They made an excuse for it, by the way, which was that the baby had been in her womb for a period of time while it was waiting to be coming out, which was 2 months later. But also, I had been to the chief of the hospital to ask for a test for poison or a blood test. He said yes, and it was that nurse who brought me my baby to so I could bring it to the burial myself, that at the last moment she handed me the baby. I said, well, you took the blood test, and she said no. Like I said, she was covering for my girlfriend. She said no, you'll need a court order. And because of the hot weather, and the Bible says you must bury your loved one within 24 hours in the hot sun, I was not gonna leave my baby to decompose in the hot morgue. I'm just not even sure if I'd get a court order in time. So I'm now going to read to you a statement that my girlfriend made when she had told me, and this was after the baby died, that my girlfriend and I went back to one of the cities we had been getting away from these people. And these people were Americans. I had no American connections at all in the Philippines. I just there to meet a girl. And so I explained that my father had sent those people but my family's going out of their way to make me look like I'm just fucking lying, but I'm not. And in the statement that I'm going to read, in her own words, I'm going to read it to you. She said that statement actually to a bunch of lawyers in a law firm, and their witnesses signed it. And that time that she wanted to write that to me, she said to me, "Look, Larry, we have to leave the city because I have something important to tell you, and I have to. I can't tell you here. We got to get out of the city first." And it was actually that week I had been nudging her. We were talking about love and, "Hey, do you really love me?" And I seemed to have gotten through to her. That might have saved my life, because if she hadn't gone as far to tell me, "Look, we got to leave. We got to get out of here. And I'll tell you something," after talking about love the whole week, they would have killed me. In fact, there are a number of things that happened about these people coming and them talking to her that a couple of them I didn't write in my book. So I'm going to tell you that in this audio episode, I also included a brief moments that I went to Hong Kong to. I made an appointment with a doctor because I was having trouble making a police report, especially in Boston, because my family were basically attacking and preventing me from making any reports and talking to people seriously on a serious note. They were like, "Yeah, he's making this up. He's full of shit. He's lying. He's crazy." And well, it turned out they went ahead and messed up that appointment also by calling that appointment, and obviously had talked to them. I have emails saying that they had been called and notified and this and that. So I clarified that with another couple doctors. And don't worry, people, I'm fine. I'm very traumatized, but I'm not a crazy man. And it's actually my family that's very crazy. And it's been dealing with my family like this since I was born. And so let me read to you what my girlfriend wrote. She says, the following, okay, I say, because I'm reading it from my book, actually, where I typed out what she had written, handwritten. Here she goes. She said, let me have some water, hold on. And I hope you guys got all that. And just ask me questions. There's a lot to talk about. I want these episodes on my podcast and also question and answers sessions to have with people. Some of my other episodes are actually from someone who's asking me questions too. Okay. I'm Laysel Madala. I want to say very important things, secret things, but not anymore, because I'm very worried about Larry, especially at this time we lost our baby. Some people talk to me when Larry not around. I don't know who's those people offer some help for me to leave Larry and say bad things about him. They let me choose. They offer everything I want, everything I need. Especially after the baby died, suspicious people come to me and talk to me, following me wherever I go, and it is very disturbing, scary, and freaking me out. I'm so worried about me and Larry now, this people bothering me too much, especially to Larry. When we are in Holiday Hotel, when Larry is gone, going somewhere, while I'm in the lobby waiting, I've seen gray SUV car with some people inside it. Some lady come out and talk to me. She'll tell me, ask me if I'm okay. I said, "Yeah, I just waiting my boyfriend, Larry." She start talking, asking me things. I tell them to leave me alone, that I'm okay, and Larry will come and get me. The other girl asked the other guy to wait in the one down the road and watch if Larry on the way, that they can go and act nothing. She even forced me to accept her number and keep it, hide it from Larry. She asked me to contact her without telling Larry. I asked her why they do this. She said they care about me because I'm Filipina, she said. I can't stop crying at that time, worried about Larry. Then ask them to leave me alone and waiting when Larry back. Down to the gate. Leave me alone and sit down while waiting when Larry back. We transfer to Crown Regency Hotel. After that, I've seen a lot of people around, very suspicious. We stay there one night, then transfer to Palladium. Still, a lot of people I've seen keep looking at me and Larry, and we stay there a little bit long. Then we transfer to Ascario Hotel. And the gray SUV car, I've seen it again. While Larry goes somewhere, I just ignore it. And then the next time I go outside, some taxi driver talked to me and asked me if I changed my mind, or when will I call or text the number I have. I told him I will not text because we are fine, me and Larry. And I asked him to tell other people to stop bothering me and Larry. I don't know them. They keep bothering. Please tell them stop bothering me. These people want to do bad things to Larry. I can feel it. And I will not let somebody do that. I only have Larry in my life now. I don't want to lose him. I want him to be happy. I write this letter to protect me and Larry because I'm tired of keeping these things on me. When we are in the pizza restaurant, the name is Da Vinci Pizza in Lapu-Lapu. Larry almost swallowed the plastic shaped like onions on his pizza. That's good he's seen it. I'm so scared at that time and he sees familiar person, a guy who have tattoo, very familiar face. I'm so scared at that time too. For Larry, I want to do right, everything to keep us safe. I've seen family faces, sometimes suspicious people starting now. I need to tell to keep us safe. And that is the end of her letter. And by the way, I called the FBI actually also once because another city in Davao, a taxi I made a report about. And there is so much about the State Department regarding there was a go-through. The State Department was a go-between these people, and I don't know how, but except for that, there were two people who are directly in this decade's story. I tell you the story of this past decade, where there are, in fact, at least two people with strong State Department connections. One is a liaison. But I'm just going to wait for people to ask questions, and because if I ramble on, it's just going to seem nutty, I guess. But it isn't. It's the truth, and somebody has to hold these people accountable, because it wasn't just this one situation. Okay. But apparently because the child had already died when they came, and they said that they were afraid they were afraid the poison inside the baby would be coming into her system.
Oh. I was there when the baby died. I was there. You cannot say what happened.
That's why I'm pressing is to what makes you.
She admitted killing the baby. She admitted killing the baby.
Because it was so horrific at the time, or whether she pressed the baby against the toilet or the sink to help. And it was actually that night that was sitting on the bed, and she said, "Larry, the baby's not moving anymore." And so that had already been after two times, a few different visits from those people to my house, the guy going to the loan company saying there's a trust account to stop the money. My girlfriend was a self-pronounced criminal and a lesbian. She admitted being a criminal. In fact, when I offered to open up a little fruit stand for her by the police station, she said, "No, I couldn't do that." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because I'm a criminal." And that was bad for me, because it was also a way for these guys to ask for her help. And her whole family were criminals. In fact, her father was a rapist and murdered. That was her stepfather. And her real father was murdered also. He was, as far as I was told, he was stabbed in the back with a knife because he was robbing guns from the army. And her brothers, just I'm giving you a little background on who killed my baby. And her brothers would drive an ice cream truck every week so she could give all the guys in the truck a blowjob. When I first had to wait outside while they were doing it. And one of the things she said is, "Look, Larry, I mean, when these people kept coming over and threatening me and her," she did say something peculiar. She said, "Larry, I had to choose between you or my son." That's when my father admitted to sending those people. He was upset that I spent $1 million staying at hotels for several years. But I told my family, "I have to take care of these people. I got to go back to America and talk to the police. I have to go, you know, stop these people and make a complaint, because these were Americans. These weren't Filipinos coming to my house. These were Americans." And I wasn't able to do that.
Sent by your father to kill you.
Listen, my father told me he sent them, and they did try to kill me.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you felt your crime detective calling and could appreciate our provocative subject matter. Please take a moment and subscribe, comment, or like us on your YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or your favorite social media. We hope you listen to our next episode. And remember, life is not always perfect, especially for the victim.